In pickup trucks and sport utility vehicles, toting automatic rifles, the self-declared soldiers of the Front Uni pour le Changement struck in N'Djamena on April 13th. Gunfire resounded in the capital, but Dabi's loose-knit defenders proved just stalwart enough to chase the rebels back toward Darfur. Chad's robbers had been thwarted, but only temporarily. As a World Bank analysis put it, the government brought the situation under control through the course of the day, but the situation has remained tense. The tension is likely aggravated by the new petroleum resources, which have raised the stakes associated with power, and by the paucity of tangible results associated with oil revenues to date. Dabi was again furious. He organized a popular rally of his supporters in the streets of N'Djamena. He declared that if the world would not back him, he would defy the world. He threatened to expel all 200,000 refugees from Darfur and shut down all oil production in Chad by the following Tuesday, if the World Bank did not immediately meet his demands. "You have just been eyewitnesses to the attacks by Sudanese mercenaries," Dabi's Prime Minister, Pascal Yoadimnaji, declared in a communique issued to all of N'Djamena's ambassadors. "We regret to state that the international community closes its eyes to the inimical behavior of the government of Khartoum. This is a particularly laughable situation. The oil is Chadian. Its exploitation must first of all profit the Chadian people." ExxonMobil drew down to 6 core staff in N'Djamena, including Ron Royal, who stayed on. Others of his staff withdrew from the rebel raid to the relative safety of the oil fields in the south. Royal met Dabi's prime minister on the evening of April 14th. He suggested openly that Chad get out of its obligations to the World Bank by paying off its loans. At that point, ExxonMobil would be free to pay royalties directly to Dabi's regime, bypassing Wolfowitz's strictures. The prime minister asked if ExxonMobil might be willing to lend Chad the money to pull off this maneuver. Dabi asked Ambassador Mark Wall to visit him the next day. Wall had been overseeing evacuations by American Peace Corps volunteers and other aid workers spooked by the rebel attack. The ambassador drove with his deputy, Lucy Tamlin, to one of Dabi's private residences in the capital, safely secluded from the presidential palace. Wall found the president in the company of his new wife, Hinda Dabi Itno. They spoke in French and took their places. Tamlin took notes. Wall acknowledged Dabi's successful defense of the capital. "Washington is deeply troubled by the current turn of events in Chad," he said sympathetically. Dabi said he had sent a letter to President Bush asking for understanding of Chad's predicament. "Even now," he continued, "Sudan's government had unleashed a convoy of 60 rebel trucks filled with armed men towards Chad's eastern city of Abéché. His military problems were far from over. I have spoken repeatedly to the international community, but the international community has failed to respond. A small country such as Chad cannot at the same time face an armed invasion as well as shelter refugees." Half of the rebels captured after the raid on N'Djamena were Sudanese nationals, Dabi said. The United States had publicly condemned any efforts to seize power in Chad by force. His implication was clear. Why then would the United States stand by and allow such an invasion to succeed, given that ExxonMobil was here and that Dabi was cooperating on counterterrorism and Darfur? Wall asked about Dabi's threat to shut down the ExxonMobil oil consortium on Tuesday. Dabi had declared he would close the pipeline if ExxonMobil did not start making its payments directly to Chad's government, rather than through the London accounts controlled by the World Bank. "This is not a topic for discussion," Dabi answered unequivocally. "It's our money. The money belongs to the Chadian people." He added that he needed the ExxonMobil royalties to pay his troops. Wall said that if Dabi shut down oil production, he would deprive Chad's government of future payments. "Chad can live without oil," Dabi said. He agreed, however, to wait until the end of April before issuing his order to shut down production. The president's bargaining was transparent. He was angry, yes, but he was also seeking leverage with the Bush administration. "We are not cowboys," Dabi added. "But the World Bank has pushed our back to the wall." His oil threat galvanized the Bush administration's attention. Don Yamamoto, a State Department envoy, flew into N'Djamena on April 24th. Yamamoto was a principal deputy assistant secretary of state, barely higher ranking than Ambassador Wall, but he was nonetheless the most senior American official to visit Chad in years. He carried with him a letter from Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Wall rode with Yamamoto to the presidential palace. Spruced up with the help of oil revenue, the palace had marble floors, clean carpets, Greek columns, and painted murals that told of Chad's strength in colorful allegory. Chadian Special Forces soldiers in U.S.-supplied camouflage and desert headscarves protected doorways and leaned against the walls. In Dabi's reception room, a presidential portrait graced one wall. There were ornate white leather chairs with oversized throne-like armrests. Tamlin and two other embassy diplomats completed the American delegation. Chad's foreign minister, the country's internal security director, and two note-takers flanked President Dabi. "Chad currently has the full attention of the United States," Yamamoto began. He thanked Dabi for agreeing to postpone the shutdown of the oil pipeline. He mentioned the letter he was carrying from Rice. The envoy unfolded a French translation and read it aloud. Its essence was that the secretary understood Dabi's situation was a very difficult one, and that the United States remained committed to a successful partnership with him. Dabi said that he would like to convey his gratitude to Secretary Rice. Chad wanted a good relationship with the United States. As to his troubles with the World Bank, "We've been looking for a resolution for a year and a half. I know the challenge Chad faces in maintaining stability," Ambassador Wall assured him. "Our suggestions are all designed to find a way forward for a more stable future for Chad." They struck an agreement in principle on April 26th. The upshot was that Dabi would have greater freedom to spend money on his military, and ExxonMobil would keep pumping oil. Ron Royal told Ambassador Wall and the visiting envoy, Yamamoto, that he and ExxonMobil headquarters in Texas were extremely appreciative of the Bush administration's efforts.